And good morning. Welcome to our morning worship service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 349. Father, we praise you for this hour together. Thank you for drawing us out here today to seek your face and to glorify your name. We thank you that Jesus is here with us. Where two or three are gathered, he is there in the midst. We thank you for the power of your Spirit. He is within each believer here today to guide us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to teach us. We pray that as this hour continues, that he will do that awesome work in each heart here. We pray that you would bless Pastor as he brings the word, fill him with your Spirit, that he might communicate its content to us and the truth you have for us to take. And Father, we thank you for the power of the Spirit. He knows each one of us. He lives within each one of us as believers. And he knows what we need today. And we pray that he'll apply the teaching to each of our lives. And may our soil of our life be rich to receive the word implanted and to bear much fruit. Bless our worship, our prayer time, all that is done in this hour. Again, we thank you and praise you for the privilege to be here together today. We commit this all to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue.
From Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 18. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in our hearts, for that assurance that you have given to us that we will be glorified in that coming day when all the sufferings of life have passed. Lord, and we just thank you to know that you are real, you're true, you're faithful, and we can put our trust and confidence in you completely. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your sacrifice on the cross for our sins to take them away. We do thank you so much for all that we have in your precious name. We pray, dear Father, today for your will to be done in our lives as Christians, that we might remain faithful and true to you no matter what happens around us, that we might be faithful to your word. We do pray for our missionaries today, our Father. We thank you for each one of them, for those who are out on the fields faithfully serving you. And Lord, we know sometimes these fields change. You think of the Kellers especially, now they're in Switzerland and kind of out of place. But we pray that you'll give them peace in their hearts and help them to be able to carry on the ministry and to do your will in all things. We do pray for the situation there in Ukraine with all of the fighting and warfare and destruction and people being displaced, and it has to be a horrible situation. But we pray for those who are believers that they will remain steadfast and strong and able to spread the good news of the gospel to those who have not yet accepted the Lord as their Savior. And we pray for our country too, our Father, you know. We thank you for each and every believer. Thank you for those who are standing firm and strong upon your word. And we pray your blessings upon them. We do pray for those who still do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they might come to you. Our loved ones, family, friends, those that we come in contact with from time to time. We pray, Lord, help us to be faithful and living righteously and speaking forth your word. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, let's see here.
Let's turn once again to Romans chapter 8. Here in this particular portion of scripture that we read this morning, we see he's talking about this present life and the life to come. Present sufferings and future glory. I was reading a sermon on the internet, and he has this expression. This is Pastor Pat Damiani. He says, "The hurt of present suffering is far outweighed by the hope of future glory." I thought that was a pretty good statement. You know, we think of our present life so often, and we have our aches and pains, we have our problems, we have the warfare in different places and all that's going on. This world is contaminated by sin. And yet, for the believer, we have something to look forward to. We have that day when we will be with the Lord in his presence. No more suffering, no more darkness, no more sin. So the first part of this chapter we looked at contrasted the spirit and the flesh. We've been looking at that for some time. The one who lives a natural life following the desires of the flesh is condemned. Those who do not have a connection with God. The one who is set free is led by the Holy Spirit and is not condemned. In Christ Jesus we have life. Even now, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and assures us of our salvation. However, Paul points out in verse 18, as we read a few moments ago, that believers suffer in this present world along with everyone else. The rest of creation is affected by sin. Sin has contaminated the whole system. But we look forward to the time when we'll no longer be under that condemnation. We will be set free from this world and all that it holds, and be in the presence of God. That'll be our final destination. Home forevermore. Be a wonderful time, won't it? But as believers, we have to realize that we are not home yet. Not home yet. We're still living in a foreign land, so to speak. We're citizens of heaven, but we are still here on earth. But it'll be truly wonderful when we finally do arrive and settle down for eternity. And I don't know what it's going to be like. I wonder, what do you think? What's it going to be like to be in heaven with the Lord? I'm certainly looking forward to it. Notice these encouraging words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Here the Apostle Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So, all of creation is waiting for that day when we will be changed, we'll be with the Lord. All of creation will be changed. Look here in Romans 8, verse 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," or the creation, "is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." Something else is going to happen when we are glorified, when we are in the presence of the Lord. All of creation is going to change. And notice it says here in verse 20, "For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." The whole creation is going to be changed. "For we know that the whole creation is groaning and in travail, in pain together until now." The creation is groaning. And if you notice, that's a word that appears again and again in this chapter, in this portion. It says that the creation is groaning, wanting to be free. And later it says that the believer is groaning. See that? And then the last one is that the Holy Spirit is groaning, waiting for everything to be set free. So let's take a look at this. We see that we know that the world has been put into a state of confusion, a state of sin and ungodliness. How did this come about? Well, we well know over in Genesis chapter 3, the scripture tells us what happened. The man and the woman were tempted. The woman was tempted, actually. Said the man was not tempted. He was just foolish enough to go along with what she suggested. Anyhow, we find here in Genesis chapter 3 where the serpent came along and tempted Eve, and she disobeyed God, and Adam also. He was held accountable for that. And let's look here in verse 17 of chapter 3. "And unto Adam God said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." So here is the curse that God put upon the land, upon all of the creation that he made. And that's the reason that it's so difficult for people to even make a living sometimes. The sweat of your face. Until you go back to the dust So this is the way it is. Adam's sin brought a curse upon the whole earth. You know, we sang something a while ago, little as much when God is in it, didn't we, or something like that, I think. You know, that works both ways. When we do what is right, we can accomplish a great deal. And when we do what's wrong, it affects a great deal, doesn't it? And this with Adam, no doubt they thought, well, what in the world? You know, it's only a piece of fruit. Let's just have, you know, see what it's like. And they think that this is not important. But the point is that they disobeyed God. God gave them a direct order, direct command, and they disobeyed. And so it was of great consequence. It has thrown the whole world out of kelter, so to speak. So God had promised to deliver this creation from all sin and corruption. He will. In fact, He will make a new heaven and a new earth. It tells us that over at the last part of the book of Isaiah, where He says He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And we see it realized in the book of Revelation, where the new heaven and the earth, new earth will be forever. And wherein, it says, dwelleth righteousness. It's not going to be a sinful world. It's going to be a righteous place where everyone can live together without sin. That's it would be almost foreign to us, wouldn't it? What do you think? Huh? For everything to be according to God's will, for His purpose, and yet this is what He has promised to us, so we can rejoice in that. The whole creation is waiting for this, groaning and in travail, and how it's all going to change when Jesus comes again, when He sets up His kingdom and rules and reigns in righteousness, and all is going to be completely changed. And then, as I said, believers are groaning in anticipation of deliverance. Verse 23, it says, "And not only they, not only the creation, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit," Holy Spirit of God producing fruit in our life and working in us, "but we, even we, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." We're looking forward to that time when Jesus comes, the trumpet is blown, the shout comes, and we go to be with the Lord. What a wonderful time that is. And we're going to be set free from all of the pain and suffering that we have in this world. The adoption, when God takes us into His family completely, when we go to be with Him, the redemption of our body. His body's going to be changed. And we'll be caught up to be with the Lord and have eternity together with Him. So we are suffering now at this present time in hope and in faith, patiently waiting for the Lord to come. You know, you can think of all the believers. I know Paul was waiting, wasn't he? He didn't come. And all around through the centuries, people have been looking and waiting and watching for Christ to come. He hasn't come yet. What does that mean? That means we continue to wait until He does come, right? Because He will keep His word. We've seen it over and over again throughout the Scriptures, the things that He's already done. And the promises that He has kept, and the word of God is true and faithful. And so many prophecies have been fulfilled already. And certainly he is going to keep every word that he has given to us. And we can look forward to that. Looking forward to the resurrection. We have Easter coming up very soon now. It's coming in a few weeks. And thinking of our Lord Jesus. He died there on the cross of Calvary. The disciples were all distraught and thinking, this is it. You know, we've lost all hope. We don't have anything more to do. And yet, on the third day, here he comes out of that grave and victoriously over all of the forces of evil and giving us a greater hope that as he lives, we shall live also, right? The day may come when we're put into the ground, right? It's not a pleasant thought, but it's a truth. The day may come. And yet, according to the word of God, the day will also come when we'll come forth out of that grave and go to be with the Lord. So, it says we are saved by hope. Now, this isn't just, you know, a hope. Well, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it doesn't snow. You know, I hope it doesn't. We can do this, that, or the other. But no, this hope is something that we can count on because it's in the Word of God, isn't it? He has said this, and he is going to fulfill it, just as he has promised. We have this hope. We're saved by hope. That's the blessed assurance that we have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the hope that we are looking forward to since the day of our salvation. Or since the day we learned enough to know what happened, right? And God continues to deal with us and to teach us and to help us as we read his word, as we pray and seek his face, as we live our lives in his presence. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? And we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're waiting for, looking to him and knowing that he is ever there to be with us and to lead us until that day when he calls us home. We are saved by hope. But he says, but hope that is seen is not hope. You know, we are hoping. We are looking and trusting, abiding in the Lord, waiting. We don't see it, you know. But we know that it's true. We're saved by hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? You know, if you could tell all this, if it was all there and you could see it happening, then you wouldn't have to hope anymore. It's there. It's realization. And someday it will be. But if we hope for that we see not, do we with patience wait for it? Patience. Are you a patient person? You know, sometimes it's not easy to be patient, to endure, to keep on. But this is what the scriptures tell us to do. Just patiently wait and look to him for the guidance and leadership that we need so that we might be able to please God. And we might be pleasing in his sight. All right, the third thing it mentions here is that the Holy Spirit is groaning as well. You might wonder, what's he got to groan about? What do you think? Huh? Well, putting up with us, I think, probably is enough to make him groan. I know. The Holy Spirit is the one who is with us. He's enduring everything. And you know, the thing is, the Holy Spirit, with his presence in our lives, He knows everything. He knows all about us. He knows what we think. He knows what we do. And you can't pull the wool over his eyes, can you? He's right there with us. And thank goodness that we have his presence to help us. And it says he helps us in our weaknesses. Notice verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know? So that speaks about us, doesn't it? When we don't know how to pray, when we don't know what needs to be said, the Holy Spirit of God takes our prayers, interprets them, and delivers them to the Father. Isn't that something? You know, it's wonderful how the Trinity appears again and again in the Scriptures and in our lives. We have the Father who is over all. God himself, well, I shouldn't say that, I guess. God, they're all equal. But the Father is the one in charge. Let's put it that way. He's the one who directs. We have the Son who obeyed the Father completely in his physical body and who has gone back to heaven to intercede for us, continues to pray for us at the right hand of the Father, and then the Holy Spirit of God who is with us making intercession. You know, so that we might be able to continue on. And when we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to think, with all that's going on around us, the blessed Holy Spirit of God is able to intercede for us. That's a wonderful thing, I believe, that we have with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, some people make this strange and all these other things, you know, the tongues and everything that comes up. But I don't think that's what Paul's saying at all. He just says that when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit is able to express our hearts, our minds, and to pray in our behalf in such a way, in the silence, he's able to relay to the Father the very prayer that we are unable to express in words. Sighs too deep for words. When your heart is breaking, you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit is able to intercede in your behalf. In verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we have the God searching our hearts, knowing us completely. There's nothing hidden from him, as I said. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for the believer according to God's will. It's perfect agreement in the Godhead. There's no disagreement whatsoever. No misunderstanding. No contrast. Therefore, the Spirit makes perfect intercession for us. We can have a connection with God and by the Holy Spirit. And then notice this wonderful verse 28. God's purpose will be accomplished, and it is being accomplished now. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, we have a relationship as believers with God in such a way that he is able to meet every need that we have, to help us, all things work together for good. Do you believe that?
What do you think?
Now, I would say it doesn't mean that all things are good, does it? There's a lot that we have to see around us that we do ourselves many times, falling flat on our face or something, and it's not good. This war in Ukraine is not good. It's not good. And yet, God is able to take all of these things and work them together for good. You see? And that's what he's saying. It's like a patchwork quilt. I remember there was a lady here a while back that did patchwork quilts and things. I know Elena Meshi liked to do that, and different ones, and all of that. And you know that you take those little squares, you know, this little quilt thing, and you take sit there impatiently, sew this thing together. Right? Is that right, Kathy? It's about the way it works. And yet, when you get finished with it, you look at it, it's beautiful. I grew up to Lancaster area, and you see all those beautiful quilts that these Amish ladies have made, you know. And it started out with just a little scrap of cloth, and they put them all together, and it comes out a beautiful piece of work. And that's the way it is with the things of life. As we look at them, they look dark and dingy, perhaps, until we finish and see the other side that's bright and sunny. The dark things, you know, in order to make something beautiful many times, like an artist, he has to take the dark along with the light in order to bring it in and make it a beautiful picture. And that's the way God is doing, I believe, through all these things. He's not the one who causes the evil, I don't believe. That's man. We saw where Adam disobeyed God and brought it all upon us, and people continue to do that today. Those who would do evil, that's certainly not God's fault. But He's able to take all those things and put them together in such a way that it works out for good to the believer. You notice? That's who he's talking to here. The ones who love God. So if you love God, then everything is going to come out right. Yeah, for those who do not, it's going to be altogether different. Everything's going to end up very badly for them. But this is a wonderful verse. I know many of you have memorized it. And we know something that we know. We are assured of this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for each one of His children. We just need to determine what that is and seek to obey Him, whatever it is. R. A. Torrey, one of the great preachers of the past, he called this verse, he says it's a soft pillow for a tired heart. You know, when we are down having difficulties, we can stop and think, oh yes, God's still up there. He's still on His throne. And He is going to orchestrate everything for my good. Wonderful to think about. And we find here that it's for those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. Purpose of God will be ultimately fulfilled. There's no power that can thwart His purpose. He's going to accomplish what He set out to do. And Paul says, we can know these things. It's true. We, as the children of God, we will prevail, even though it may not look like it. We think about the situation where people are persecuted and so often believers killed because of their faith in Christ. It doesn't look like they are winning, does it? There in Nigeria, when the people are taken hostage and many times killed because they're not Muslims, because they're Christians. And it doesn't look like they're winning. But God says they are. And they will after this life is over. You know? And so we can have this blessed assurance in our hearts as God's children that we will prevail. We count on that. And even though we don't understand all that's happening around us, we can know that He is always on hand. So, as we see here, we have the whole creation groaning and travailing because of the sin that causes so much havoc. But one day they're going to be set free, right? We have believers who are groaning, wondering, why doesn't God do something? Well, He is doing something. And He will continue. And then we have the Comforter, the Spirit of God, who is groaning and making intercession for us so that we might be able to tolerate this life in which we live with all of the suffering and aches and pains and whatever else may come. The Spirit of God is there to reassure us that God loves us and that we should love Him and serve Him faithfully. May God help us to be His faithful children, to live in such a way as to bring honor and glory to His name and to walk in righteousness and truth before Him. Father, we thank You this morning for Your wonderful word. We know, Lord, so often we complain about what happens in life and we wonder, why do I have to go through this? And yet, we know that You are going to see us through. You've given us the Spirit of God to lead us. You've given us Your Word to show us the truth. May we trust You. May we walk in fellowship with You. Allow our hope to endure, not give up. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those who still do not know the Lord Jesus, that they might turn to Him. We think of our loved ones and family. We think of our neighbors. We pray, O God, that You might draw them to Yourself by Your Holy Spirit. And we pray that You'll work in our lives and make us what we ought to be, that we can be faithful witnesses for Christ in this world in which we live. We do thank You so much for all that You are and all that You mean to us. Continue to guide us, lead us, and help us in all that we do, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, might be glorified. We pray in His name. Amen.